Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I would like for us to spend a couple of our programs answering the question, why do we worship on the first day of the week? The week has 7 days, and we do meet to assemble and we worship on the first day of the week. Why do we worship on the first day of the week? You know, sometimes the question is asked, where does the New Testament command us not to keep the Sabbath day? Well, I would simply answer, where does the New Testament teach us not to keep the Passover feast? Where does the New Testament command us not to make pilgrimages to Jerusalem? Where is the commandment not to keep Pentecost? And sometimes there's a similar question, where are we commanded to worship on the first day of the week rather than the Sabbath? Now, of course, the Sabbath is the 7th day of the week. It corresponds to our Saturday. And in the Old Testament, we learn that God's people, the people of Israel, they observed the 7th day, that day, for religious reasons. And even though today there are a lot of people, millions of people, who profess to be Christians, and I hasten to add that the use of the term Christian is so often not as the New Testament has defined it, but as men have simply misused it, people sometimes even refer to the Crusades as having been Christian. Why, that was not even close to being Christian. But nonetheless, there are a lot of people who call themselves Christian. And among these millions of people that still like to use the term, though incorrectly, there are some thousands that profess to be followers of Christ, who contend that we are to worship on the 7th day of the week rather than the first day of the week, and they do that. Now, it's fair to say that the majority of religious people probably don't think it makes any difference one way or another. That's because they've swallowed this idea that whatever a person wants to do, why, that's all right. As long as he does it honestly and sincerely, why, God will accept it anyway. I guess they've never heard of Saul of Tarsus as he persecuted Christians, and he did that thinking that he was serving God. He was sincere and honest about it. But the immediate answer to the question, where are we taught not to keep the Sabbath? There's no place in the New Testament where we are specifically commanded not to worship on the Sabbath day. In fact, there's no commandment anywhere that forbids us from worshiping God any and every day of the week, though on the first day of the week there are certain things that are specified to be done, but we can worship God and should worship God all the time. But neither are we commanded to observe the 7th day above other days. Now, the real question that ought to be asked is this. Where's the authority for New Testament Christians to worship on the Sabbath? Worshiping on the first day of the week, we need to have authority for that. After all, what we do is to be done by the authority of Christ, Colossians 3 and verse 17. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without having authority from Christ, we would be acting on the authority of men rather than God. So we need to know why we worship on the first day of the week and why we don't use Saturday as our day of assembly. Now, Sabbath keepers offer certain contentions that are designed, they hope, to persuade us to keep the Sabbath. Well, we feel obligated to consider what they have to say before we dismiss it. But let us see if their contentions have any biblical or even historical merit. Now, we are told by some of them that Sunday, and that's the first day of the week, that's a day of ancient pagan worship, a day of the worship of the sun. And this is where the name got the day got its name, Sunday. Well, it's true that there have been those who have worshipped the sun, and they did this on the first day of the week, and that's how Sunday got its name. So the Sabbatarians contend that the day is unfit for Christian worship, and it's a result of the mixing of paganism and Christianity. But friend, Christ didn't give a name to the days of the week, and he didn't give him, like he didn't give him names for the months. That was immaterial to the Lord. But Saturday is no better in this regard, taking its name from the worship of the planet Saturn. So those who worship on Saturday, they're worshiping on a day that is named after pagan worship as well. The point is, friend, neither the names have any significance whatever to Christianity, no more than a man's name like brown or black or green or white determines his skin color. All of the days of the week take their name from mythological sources and worship of various man-made gods. Well, some claim that Constantine, a Roman emperor, he, by an imperial edict, changed the time of worship from Saturday to Sunday about the year 321 A.D. Now, this was nearly 300 years after the Lord's Church was established, you see. Friend, this is just historically not true. This is historically inaccurate. Now, it's true that Constantine gave the day of the first day of the week an official Roman sanction. He declared it to be a holiday. But the day of worship on the first day of the week had been practiced long before the decree of Constantine. In fact, giving it a legal recognition and giving it a holiday, that's one thing, but there's no evidence that Christians worshipped in observance of the Sabbath day prior to his imperial edict. They had been worshipping on the first day of the week all down to the time of Constantine. He recognized this, and he made it a holiday, but he did not make it the day of worship. That was all very much in practice long before his time. And then there are others who claim that the Roman Catholic Church changed the day from the seventh to the first. Now, it is true that Romanism changed many things, varying from the teaching of the New Testament. And they like to lay claim for many of these changes, and they're proud of them even though they're unbiblical. But they even deny having changed the day of worship, and they take no credit for it whatsoever. And it's significant since they like to claim authority for almost everything, but you see, the Catholicism was historically unknown until nearly 600 years after the Lord's Church was established in Jerusalem on the first Pentecost after the Lord's resurrection. The first pope was in the year 606 A.D. Rome didn't change Saturday into Sunday. And it is contended that the seventh day observance is in the Mosaic Law. Well, that's right. The observance of the Sabbath was a part of the Mosaic Law. Sabbatarians will admit that this law, in part, has been removed. But they arbitrarily say in part. They divide the law of Moses into a moral and ceremonial part, and they claim the ceremonial part was removed and the moral still is binding, and that the observance of the Sabbath day is a moral law. Friend, that's just something of their own imagination and invention. Of the more than 660 laws of the Mosaic Law, there's no verse that makes the division between the moral and the ceremonial as far as part of it being removed and part of it remaining. This is simply something men have concocted in order to uphold their denominational dogma. To remember the Sabbath day is the fourth of the Ten Commandments, and no passage designates them as being wholly moral. In fact, the fourth commandment is obviously ceremonial in nature. And so even if the moral laws of Moses were retained, the Sabbath would be removed, because the Sabbath had to do with ceremony keeping, not morality. And furthermore, all of the laws of Moses have been taken away, including the Ten Commandments. Paul said we're delivered from the law, and he specified the part from which we're delivered. He identifies that law as the law that contained thou shalt not covet. Now the Bible student will recognize that this is the tenth of the Ten Commandments. This means we're delivered from the Ten Commandments. This does not mean that we can steal, we can lie, commit adultery, and so forth, because nine of the Ten Commandments were included in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. But the will of Jesus Christ did not include the fourth anywhere, not the remembrance of the Sabbath day. The truth is that the Sabbath law is a part of that law from which we are delivered. Paul wrote, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which would afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." Friend, there are few things taught in the New Testament any clearer than the fact that the law that God gave to Israel is binding upon nobody today. It was nailed to the cross. Christ blotted out these ordinances that were against us, Colossians chapter 2, 14. And we also learn in Colossians 2, Paul said, "Let no man judge you according to certain things, and among the things that he said are not to be used as a standard of judgment were holy days and Sabbath days." Those things are not binding upon the Christian. They've never been binding upon the Christian. Yes, they were binding upon the Israelites, but they're not anywhere taught to be practiced by the Christian. And to attempt to bind an Old Testament law is to put the law of Moses superior in authority to the law of Jesus Christ. Don't you recall that on the Mount of Transfiguration, God says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And that was right in the presence of Moses. Moses' law did never extend to the Gentile people, and it doesn't extend to us today. It was taken out of the way when Christ nailed it to the cross. Christ fulfilled that law, Matthew 5:17. The purposes of the law of Moses were accomplished when the faith of Jesus Christ came into reality. In Galatians chapter 4, we have the allegory of Sarah and Hagar as they represented the old and new law. And what saith the scripture? Cast out the handmaid. Cast out the old law. It's evident that the old law has been taken away. To attempt to be justified by the old law, Paul says, is to fall from grace, Galatians 5:4. Well, in our next lesson, we're going to continue to explore this question, why we worship on the first day. This is The Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.